Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
What's good? Hope everyone's having a mighty fine day. Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus now. Make sure you stream us there. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Janae Ogumike here with Puddin. And, you know, we've been talking about the worst nicknames. And have you got yourself together? Because I know you've made up a nickname for a friend. I don't know if you're going to ever debut it. My guy is really, he's lost it. He hasn't been able to stop. Y'all, Junior is crying. Junior is crying right now. What are your, okay, so first let me give you guys context. On the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, he still can't get himself together. We've been asking everyone, what's the worst nickname you've had? Mine, I say, is Chi-Chi. And I love that name. People call me Chi-Chi. Like, pass the ball. Hey, Chi. You know, I like that. Junior's was Puddin. And that's why I call him Puddin. I think we've got, what was yours, Devin?
The gentle
one. I was the gentle one in offensive line.
And Cliff, you were?
It was either Cliffy or the Bull.
The Bull is cool, though. And I think the guys have been acting up in the break. Because I heard the nickname that you attributed to someone. And that was... foul for no better way. Are you okay? Puddin, are you okay?
I don't know what hit me about that. So listen, we all love Jason Fitz around here. He's so kind to come in down here and fill in for us halfway through the show. A lot of times you hear him on Spain and Fitz with Sarah Spain.
He's
to the north
it.
Of us every day. And I can't even say the nickname because you all know what Fitz rhymes with that might be a nickname that's sort of mean-spirited. And I don't know why the sometimes it's just the simplicity that just strikes you.
Listen, he texted us just now, and you know you can use your imagination on what he said, but he did follow up text. He said he never pooped his pants. That's
yeah,
all I'm gonna
say. Right. So I gotta say we got to address the elephant in the room. We all figured at some point like Jason had to have pooped his pants to earn that nickname, and the thought of like a young fiddle carrying Jason Fitz with poopy pants just completely destroyed me. On so many levels, like I'm still getting my composure back. I'm out of breath. I'm so sorry for derailing the show. It's totally unprofessional. We're getting ready to talk about college football and COVID cases, and I just can't stop thinking about Jason Fitz pooping his pants.
Get yourself together. I'll hold it down for like 20 seconds as you breathe and try to like wipe your eyes from the tears.
No, I'm
like,
good. I'm good.
Good now.
America needs to see my tears on ESPN Plus.
And speaking of America, now in about 10 minutes, we will get to the most shocking guest ever in the history of Janae Angola Jr. following the spirit of The Bachelorette. We will have a guest from that franchise, but I want to get to the subjects at matter. If you're cool,
We're good.
Okay, we're good.
I'm good. I'm ready.
Until,
I'm here
walks
for the right
into the room, and then he's going to lose his. Oh. Yeah. Now, you know, it's been interesting because today has been a really interesting news day in the sense that we've had rumblings in the NBA, especially with, you know, the deadlines coming in the sense that we've got the draft next week, Wednesday. We've got free agency coming up. Chris Paul, we now have real names in the mix and conversations when it comes to potentially moving to Phoenix in the sense of, do we know if he'll like it there? But people are saying this guy could be a fit. That's all happening in real on the NBA side. But, you know, we're seeing also in the NFL where there's a situation, especially the reality of seasons being pulled off now, a situation where they have a centralized power so that they can forge ahead and try to get to the Super Bowl. And everyone says they will be undeterred, shaken, not deterred. Yeah, every time there's a COVID case that pops up, they're shaken, but not deterred to getting to the finish line. But I think we see a different thing happening in college football because there's so many different factors. There's so many conferences, you know, Power Five and then the outside and the FBS trying to get it done. And this week alone, and I'm going to use the example of the SEC for the realities of the situation we're in. I remember a couple months ago, every day was like one person tested positive for coronavirus and we were concerned. Now it's numbers of players. NFL has a centralized power so that they can figure out how to move forward based on something that's collectively bargained. In college football, we're seeing it so much harder. So giving the example of the SEC, so far, I believe four games have been postponed this weekend because of coronavirus related issues. Junior, everyone's saying maybe there should be more pressure or even less pressure on that date of the college football playoff. How do you see this situation sort of transpiring in the future? Because it seems like there's no wiggle room and they don't want it either.
Yeah, Janae, this is what becomes the interesting part because you mentioned the SEC cases there. But overall this weekend right now, and I'm counting it up here on the fly, we have 6 games that are postponed, 2 that are outright canceled this weekend, that being Ohio State at Maryland and Air Force at Wyoming, because we know the Mountain West, the MAC, the Big Ten coming back, and the Pac-12 are all operating on that timeline where there's no wiggle room involved in these. And so it begged the question, and Peter Burns, you hear him as a host on the SEC Network, best week ever on ESPN Radio Sunday mornings, came on and said, the playoff committee and everyone needs to be flexible with all this, but Heather Dinich is one of our best college football reporters. She's got such a great understanding of the committee room and what goes on, the thought process behind that group. And she was asked earlier today, had they thought about expansion? And she said this flatly.
No, there have been no conversations about that. I would be surprised. It's not impossible, but it would be a Herculean task. And finding a TV window, as you know, during NFL playoffs would be extremely difficult. So you're looking at status quo, January 11th, Miami Gardens, and that's the national championship for now.
And Junior, I have a question, actually, yeah, that I want to get to you based on that sound. You are kind of in the driver's seat for the first time in a long time when it comes to college football playoff discussion. I'm talking about how we started this week with Notre Dame. How do you feel about expansion in a year where they're actually on track, if they continue this pace and win in the ACC championship, to make the playoff?
Yeah, you know what, Chinee, my thought process with expansion's always been pretty similar. I never thought it was necessary in college football. You've got such a daunting regular season for the most part in all of this. Why should we reward randomness at the end? We see so many postseasons. The NCAA tournament that people love to draw on in college, to me, rewards the random nature of sports that happens at times here, where the best teams don't end up winning because on any given day, someone can be got. And people love that part about sports. I say, if we're trying to crown a champion, reward what we've seen. And so I've never been in favor of expansion, but I understand it's coming. But at the same time, in college football, in any given year, we saw last year, we had three great teams. We couldn't even piece together a fourth really great team in the instance that we got in the last couple of years. So why in expanding in a season where the teams further down on the chain as far as resources suffer greater than anybody else, why would this year be the one where we would all of a sudden try to expand this and create more in a time when simplifying and less is probably the answer?
I hear you on resources and how difficult it is for the teams that are not in contention to have to carry on and even make the sacrifice to put themselves at risk for the nature of continuing a season. But this is actually where I might just firstly disagree, in the sense that, okay, when it comes to expansion, you're saying that, okay, you want the top teams to be able to win. You want to crown the best of the best. What we watched in MLB is the Dodgers won, you know, as the favorites. What we watched in the NBA, the Lakers won as the favorites. We watched in the WNBA, even despite all these expansions, you know, NBA having the additional games, that's what excited us, especially going into the playoffs. MLB expanding as well. WNBA didn't, but still in the midst of a crazy schedule, the Seattle Storm won. So a lot of the top teams are still finding ways to win. So I feel like if you're willing to take that sacrifice, which you've already done that by entering and choosing to play, this could be a situation where you're still going to be dominant. And I even said this with the Steelers and the Chiefs. The guys that returned the most pieces have been able to find success consistently in a year where there's so many different factors. And so I feel like things are still being rewarded to be the best of the best, and it could be the same for college football.
And Chinee, I would love to see teams that wouldn't traditionally get a chance in this, like Cincinnati, like BYU. Like Coastal Carolina.
The series helps, though. You're right. You know, I'm just thinking about my argument.
Yeah.
There are a lot of series. When you're playing one game, it's going to be harder because you don't have time to back that up.
And especially one as difficult and as violent as football that we know, and already adding more games on to, you know, again, amateur athletes. If you want to deem them that, then you've got to deal with the negatives that come with the way that we treat those instances. But, Chinee, I think more so for anything this year, it's I don't have the confidence in the people it would take to make this decision. We saw this summer the Power Five conference leaders, the athletic directors, the commissioners, had a chance to work together, and we heard all this talk, maybe they'll break away from the NCAA finally. And then we watched them all make decisions without consulting one another, and everyone went off and did their own thing. And now, while these conferences are all dealing with, we referenced Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, saying we're shaken but not deterred in this instance. We're going to find a way to make this work. They've all got to worry about their own business more than ever now, and we think they'd be able to come together and negotiate on the fly the rights to TV deals necessary to make expansion happen in this. Forget little faith. I have zero faith in these people to make that happen right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think when I see a lot of these top teams still winning, it's great, but they're also doing it in series, and that's not the luxury you have when it comes to the college football playoff.
No, it is not. There's nothing resembling luxury that we've got relative to college sports right now. That is a fact. But one place that knows luxury is where our next guest resided for quite some time. What's it, this La Quinta? Very much so. What is it like inside the Bachelor Mansion? And which NFL quarterback would make the best Bachelor? That's next. It's Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Today's Veterans Day, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Probably do not receive the appreciation that you deserve.
The most rewarding messages I've ever received have been those that have come from people who have been stationed around the world.
So inspired by your bravery and amazed by your sacrifice.
Thank you for keeping us safe.
Your hard work, your dedication, and everything you have done.
We just want to tell you how much we appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you for your service on behalf of all of us at ESPN. It's so appreciated.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chenan Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr., my put-in. Now, in a few minutes, we'll get to the news of the day when it comes to the NBA involving my hometown and the lack of harmony there between James Harden and Russell Westbrook in management. And also some news regarding Chris Paul. Potentially, you know, people are talking about him potentially on the move. But our show has been the home for Bachelor and Bachelorette conversation. That's the number one thing I realized. Okay, I'm going to be studying a lot of games and stuff. I've actually been studying the most in that franchise, The Bachelorette. And so this has been so exciting for me to be able to dive back into it. And so we are so, so excited to head back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to be joined now by Tyler Cameron of The Bachelorette, runner-up, and also former Wake Forest quarterback joining us here on Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, Tyler, all show long, we've been talking about nicknames. I don't know if you heard me call Mike Golic Jr. Puddin, but we're talking about the funniest nicknames, and we know you come from a show where nicknames are everything, Tyler C. What is probably, like, the worst nickname you've had, whether it's, like, starting up young or older, or did you, like, approve of your nickname on the show?
I would say my worst nickname I've gotten was in high school. I earned the nickname Bam Bam because my first 30 seconds ever playing varsity basketball, I started a brawl and got a 6-week suspension, and I was now become the bruiser of the team, and my nickname became Bam Bam.
Okay, now I have to follow this up. Why was there a brawl?
It was my first 30 seconds. I was, you know, coming off, you know, being injured for 2 weeks. I was extremely excited to get in the game. A bad pass went down to, you know, a guy going for a dunk wide open by himself, and I'm a contestant, so I went up with him, but with so much force, and he went flying into the, you know, into the pads. I turn around, their best player's swinging, and then we just get into a whole thing, and it was nuts. It was crazy. It was how I kicked off my basketball career.
That's incredible. So would you say that you were a football player, because you went on to play college football, were you a football player playing basketball, or did you think you had some skill on the basketball court enough to say you'd hold
your
own?
No. I was a football player playing basketball. I was a 6'3" center that they knew that could just push people around. I was your double-double guy. I got you 11 points, 11 rebounds, and I just muscled everybody.
Then we're the same person, Tyler.
I was like the round mound, basically.
There we go. Talking to Tyler Cameron with us, formerly of Hannah Brown's Bachelorette season. Again, also played his college ball at Wake Forest and FAU here with us on Chenan and Golic Jr. Now, Tyler, that intimidation factor, I want to take this into the Bachelor Mansion because I watch this show all the time. Night one, when you're walking into the Bachelor Mansion and you've got all these guys in here, you're all competing for one woman's heart. Is there any of that thought of trying to go out and kind of set the tone right away, kind of like you did in the basketball court?
Yeah, no doubt. But I saw the lights, I saw the cameras, I saw her. I blacked out. I was intimidated. I forgot everything I was supposed to say to her when I came out of the limo. I saw all the guys, like, they all looked so amazing in their suits. I'm like, these guys are studs. And like, they all had like these jobs in finance and this and that. I was like, I'm building houses for my dad. Like, I don't have a real job, you know. And so I was a little intimidated at first. So they, but it took like a week to get, you know, the wheels underneath me, and I got going. I was good to go.
Tyler, listen, I saw you down at the Super Bowl and passed you on the street. You're a 6'5", pretty good-looking guy. I don't know if you were really intimidated by any of these guys in the Bachelor Mansion, but I appreciate the humility. I am curious, though, what's it like on the day-to-day out there? Because we all see the way it's edited, the way it's thrown together. Like, do you end up cool with a lot of these guys in here? Is it kind of like training camp where you get that bond because you're there for so long?
Oh, yeah, camaraderie is huge during this because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there becomes one villain and everyone kind of turns against that person, and that kind of brings everyone closer together. And so, we were tight. We were tight-knit. It was hard to see your buddies leave. I remember two of my best friends got eliminated on the same night, and I was pissed. I was mad. I was like, how is this, you know, one idiot still here, and these two guys are gone? So you definitely build that brotherhood, and it's interesting.
here with Tyler Cameron on Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And I would like to tell you, I absolutely understand how you feel. When I got drafted to the WNBA for about 10 seconds with all the lights and the cameras, I blacked out too. And then my sister like slapped me, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm awake. everything worked out afterward, and I think everything has really worked out for you. You know, I was just thinking, as you're talking about being an athlete and then also being on this grand stage of The Bachelorette, do you think it was more competitive for you playing sports or actually being in an environment with all those guys in one place and they're fighting for love? What was more competitive in your head?
Ooh, that's a tough question. You know, I think I'm going to have to go with The Bachelor because my college teams weren't very competitive when I was playing. I won about 2 or 3 games a year, so I can't say that. Oh, here comes the FSU tapes. This is terrible. And Clemson. You know, the Bachelor Nation, I was in the mix. I was actually competing. I was a guy who was succeeding every, you know, round. So, like, that was, you know, I got my wins in. But football, I didn't really get my wins in. So it was definitely less competitive in the football land.
I know you're paying on that one. Tyler Cameron with us here of Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette on the Shell Penzo Performance. I'm Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agbumike. As soon as any of my highlights come up, I automatically assume someone is beating me in one of them. So I can feel the pain as you go and look up and see those. But I am curious now because I did kind of liken it to training camp. Like, you guys are in there. There's not a lot of exposure. Is it true you also, you can't eat the food out there, right? Like, when you're on the dates and stuff, you got to leave that alone?
Yeah, well, you don't want to eat the food. The food's been sitting out there for a while. It gets a little cold, you know. So, but they feed you really well in the meantime. I mean, you eat all you want. I remember at one point I put on 15 pounds, looked in the mirror, was like, holy crap, I need to get it together. And so I definitely started dieting.
Well, I was going to ask, in addition to the food, it seems like how much booze are they feeding you guys in the course of this thing?
You get to drink a little bit, but they definitely limit us to protect us, and they do a good job with that. And but you know, you find out what can get you a little buzzed up, and then you start leaning towards those kind of alcohols. And there's a few times I was like, "Whoa, I have way too much. I need to chill because like I have to talk to this girl. I'm gonna be stuttering. I already stutter to begin with, so."
Is it as awkward as I perceive it when you're talking to the Bachelorette and then someone else comes in and does that, hey, can I have a minute with her thing? Like, is there ever a point where you're like, nah, bro, I'm good?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely, that sucks, you know what I mean? Because you don't want your time to go. Time is really limited. But I think the more awkward part is being the guy that's like kind of trying to break up. Like, you're like, that's your homie. Like, you kind of became friends with them. And you're like, oh, I got to go take the girl from him now. And one time I did it, and my buddy looked up at me and saw I was coming in and went and kissed her on purpose and pissed me off. I was like, oh, you little piece of crap. You know?
And now I see why you say that The Bachelor was way more competitive. I absolutely get you there. So, you know,
exactly.
For people that are watching, what are those moments behind the scenes that people don't get to see that you actually really cherish? Outside of knowing your friends, were there some small things that you were able to do that people, you know, would really enjoy to know right now?
Yeah, I think like, you know, when there's off cameras, like when you get to spend that time with Hannah and really see like, oh, is the relationship really real or is it just camera? And we had some really fun moments dancing around, goofing around and things that didn't make the cut. And that's how you see if it's real or not.
All right, Tyler, I got to tie something into sports here so my bosses don't get mad at me for just having a whole segment where I get to talk about The Bachelorette here. As you look out right now into the landscape, NFL quarterbacks that you see, if they were single, which one do you think would make the best Bachelor?
Okay, so I think I'm about to go with Sam Darnold. You know, they always pick big guys of stature, all that, good-looking guy. And I think he's going to have a lot of time on his hands next year, so... You know, I'll go with Sam Darnold probably.
Oh, let's go.
Give him some sound clip. Hey, give him some sound.
Snaps all around.
You know, Sammy and the Jets need as much love as they can get, Tyler.
Yeah. Not going to find it here.
Not gonna find it here, but you know what? At least we know he's there for the right reasons. Tyler, we appreciate the time and all the insight into the Bachelor Mansion. If I have it my way, we'll have you back on here real soon. All right, man?
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
Tyler Cameron of Hannah Brown's season of The Bachelorette. Listen, Chiné, I don't know if anyone else liked that segment, but I am like a kid in a candy store right now.
I'm like, can we just like add him in to the mix here? You know? Can we just have – is there another seat next to you out there in Bristol? That was so much fun.
It was so much fun. We'll see if we can get him coming up for the live show next. But if you thought there was drama in the Bachelor house, might I invite you to a helping of the – Houston Rockets. We'll get to that next. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've been talking about it all day. Nicknames. Puddin' is what I've been calling you, Mike Golic Jr., and that's like something that is exclusively mine now. That's a term of affection from me to you, Puddin', even though that might trigger some rough things. But love is in the air. Tyler C. was amazing. Amazing. Mad respect. Check out ESPN Plus, because he had like the classy sweater that just looked warm, right for cuffing season. And then he had the vibes. I can see why he was the runner-up.
Listen, Chenea, it also helps when you're like 6'5", a chiseled mound of former athlete, too. Like, he can wear whatever he wants. That's not like, he's not me where you got to figure out shirts to hide the love handles. He doesn't have those problems.
Well, from my view in Los Angeles, I just get like the neck up. So you could be that person, 6'5", and chiseled in my mind.
Oh, listen, from like halfway up my chest from the shoulders until you get to where the hairline starts to recede, I'm as good as anyone you're going to find. It's all the other spots we got to worry about there. But Tyler C. was awesome. Great insight into the Bachelor Mansion. We were thrilled to have him. Friend of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never seen you that excited for another guest. And we've had some really cool guests, and you really just like jumped out of your seat. This is Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chenea Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests, like we talked about, Tyler C., join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, in a few minutes, we will get to the commitment of a major prospect in the world of basketball. I'm so excited about this, even though we all know where she went. I'm so proud of her. We'll tell you who exactly she is and how she's going to make an impact on the game in about 10 minutes. But we have to get to the hardwood. Before we get to the hardwood in the NBA, because my hometown is, there's a lot of news and rumors coming out of there with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, you know, voicing their discontent or lack thereof because there's lack of communication with the direction the Houston Rockets are moving. We first have to get our update from our own, what are we calling, Masters Insider, our ESPN, Chenea and Golic Jr. golf expert. What's the latest from the Masters?
All right, guys, as you know, the Masters starts tomorrow. I'm very excited. You know, most of America, I would say, is very excited.
The music, yes.
It's a great time of year. Yeah, the music just hits different. So if I'm giving an update today, I think we look at the weather. And if we're looking at the weather, tomorrow is going to be nasty. We got 90% chance of precipitation. It's going to be wet. It's going to be thunderstorming. And as we said, Tiger Woods, he tees off early tomorrow, 7:55 in the morning, when the weather is going to be the nastiest. So obviously that could take a hit to his game tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow with more update.
Great stuff, Devin. Really?
So should we be I'm excited, but that sort of just made it gloomy.
Yeah, well, and Chenea, this is what happens when you're having the Masters in November, the way that we are now. Things are going to be a little more volatile, and so this is part of the weird crucible of sports events that we're in the calendar year right now, seeing how everyone responds. And Tiger Woods, who we know, body-wise, tends to need those warmer environments, a course that he knows as well as Augusta, going to be very interesting to watch him respond.
Yes, Chenea and Golic Jr. reminding you to sign up for ESPN Plus for live daily coverage of the Masters. Plus, Michael Collins, oh, we love him, continues his journey across the country in a new episode of his original series, America's Caddy, covering the Masters and interviewing golf's biggest stars only on ESPN Plus. What else, Jr., is on ESPN Plus?
Our show, you can check us out each and every day along with the rest of the ESPN Radio lineup, hanging out here on Plus with you guys. We still look good there. Like on Friday, we're still going to act up there. It's just you get us in your pocket now instead of on your TV.
One more day of work, right? I had no clue what day it was going into the show. I had to ask you earlier. One more day of work, Monday through Thursday, we work. On Fridays, we twerk. So just one more day of work. Now, I want to get back to the hardwood because a lot of people are talking about the words coming out of Houston when it comes to discontent in the NBA, when it comes to the Rockets organization. Now, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, they have expressed concern about the direction of the franchise through direct conversations, you know, maybe not with the franchise, but with people that can talk about it, with their representatives and the Rockets front office. So they're using like the mediary to sort of express their emotions. Now, the concerns are expressed by those two top guys on the team. Basically, it highlights the idea that Houston, their window as a contender, could really be closing based on the direction the organization is moving. And again, I say this because, and I like to first say, no one has asked for a trade at this point, but James Harden and Russell Westbrook, guys that are actually friends, I'm not surprised that like this news involves both of them because they probably are communicating their issues. These guys are not happy with the direction. And this is a franchise where you just lost your GM in Daryl Morey, GM that had a lot of a vision. You now have a new coach, and a new coach that sort of doesn't have like the pedigree when it comes to top tier talent stars co-signing. Like there was a Ty Lue lottery to see where he'd go, and a lot of stars were co-signing him. Now we saw Steve Nash placement. And so with the big names, this is a different name. And I think what we're hearing is that James Harden, Russell Westbrook were not necessarily a part of the process as much as they wanted when it comes to these decisions. And that's how the groundwork was laid, Junior.
Yeah, Janae, it's really interesting looking at this situation through that lens because I hadn't really thought about it before. But you're right. This league, especially more than any other professional league, we associate with stars dictating terms. We're looking at an offseason right now where our sole focus is what the hell do the Bucks do in a free agent class that is largely lackluster, devoid of the kind of movers that you would associate with lifting a program and getting them to the point where an NBA title looks more likely. And so it all revolves around Giannis, who we know that organization is, listen, whatever you need, we got you on this one. And I'm sure Houston's kind of looking at that, looking at what LeBron just went through and building what he got in the Lakers. He mortgaged half a team to get Anthony Davis to them from the Pelicans. And these guys are looking up here like, wait a minute, so everybody's gone and we're going to be hanging out here having to get you guys through it. I can understand from that sense. So you don't think there's any chance that these guys are actually leaving in this instance too? Because I'm curious looking at this, Chiney, through each of them. Because you said they did it together, and I feel like there's certainly strength in that unity. Because if I'm looking at this situation, if I'm another team, I'm picking up the phone and asking about James Harden every day and twice on Sunday. We talked about this with the Sixers. How much does, like, Russell Westbrook move the needle at this point based on what we've seen, not during the regular season where he's great, but during the postseason when you get to those pivotal minutes where he's at times taking shots and touches away from players we perceive as better?
Yeah, in this situation, I think the players have the leverage in the sense that they're star players and they should be involved in the process. But speaking of this process, if we're talking about value, James Harden, amongst those two, has all the leverage. I mean, this guy is a walking bucket. I know a lot of people have criticisms of his game, but still, if you insert him on any team that is like almost a contender, he can set you way over the edge, which is why when we heard the news of Daryl Morey going to Philly, potentially getting James Harden, like that could set Philly way over the edge. And so I think this is a situation where these guys are expressing their discontent and they're basically saying, here, you sounding the alarm, here's the flag. Like, you guys, we got to figure out what this vision is because now our vision walked out the dough. Okay. And now we need to know who we are and we need to be a part of that process. And so I think this revolving door where there are different teams and different cycles, it stops now. You have to have a vision and leadership. And I think that's what Kendrick Perkins was trying to say when it came to the ownership as well.
Tillman Fertitta.
Fertitta.
All time moment.
I tried to keep a straight face. Like, honestly, I really did.
Big Perk, a belated happy birthday to Perk. I saw he was celebrating that yesterday. Our friend around here at the network, great NBA analyst for us. And Janae, I think you're right, especially with a new owner. We know Tillman Fertitta in this instance is someone who comes in there and is hyper-competitive, is motivated to make changes in this franchise. And these guys might just be rattling the cage a little bit, saying, hey, listen, man, we're the ones that move this thing. We're the ones that are going to get it done for you on the court. Remember to consult us.
You know what they're saying, James Harden and Russell Westbrook? We're still here. We're still here. Yeah. That's exactly what they're saying.
Coming up next, speaking of that, let's get back to and go back to the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed to get more of the worst nicknames that you found at Janae, at Mike Golic Jr., in honor of Puddin', which is what I was called in middle school. We're asking you for the worst nickname you've ever had. That's next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio after this word from AT&T.
Now, there are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to love AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're a professional race car driver or base jump wingsuit enthusiast, or even me, Chinee Ogumike, lining up in a race against Golic Jr. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's fast. She's fast. I win that easy. Maybe you're a bodyguard. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's secure. Or maybe you're a librarian and haven't missed a day of work in 27 years. Shout out to you. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable. And now, nationwide. AT&T 5G, it's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Back after this, it's Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I would like to use this time right now to ask our producer, Shannon, what his worst nickname is. I'll give you some time, Shannon, because I called you Shan-Shan earlier, I think a couple months ago, and you sort of laughed at that. We'll get to the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed as well to get a few more of your worst nicknames. We've got Chi-Chi here with Puddin' and, what was it? I keep forgetting. Devin's.
I was the gentle one, offensive lineman.
The gentle one, and dabble here. And we had another show full of great nicknames and guests as well. We had Tyler C. Of The Bachelorette Hannah B. season, who told us today what was more competitive, sports or The Bachelor House. And I was actually surprised by his answer. And also we had Lil Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter and also analyst. And she talked to us about the issues that are really happening right now when it comes to the NFL, whether it's trying to potentially go to more playoff games in that expansion. Also, the minority hiring practices that the NFL is looking into. And also she actually brought a lot of really good context to why we were also shocked and kind of baffled when there was a firing in the Houston Texans front office staff, one that we've seen all over social media that has been wildly respected member of their family. So check out all those conversations on the Shanae and Golic Jr. podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. And I really want to get to the story from you about your, was it saxophone? Like, if I had to pick playing an instrument for you, I would have picked sax number one.
See, and this is like us spiraling down the rabbit hole of childhood nicknames and the things that come with, like, because childhood nicknames tend to be from like some insecurity or like some like one thing that you did. So I'm curious. You mentioned we have Devin, the gentle one. We have Chinee, Chi-Chi, which shout out Dragon Ball Z fans will get that one a lot more.
Kamehameha.
Wait, one more time.
Kamehameha.
All right, that last one had some oomph to it a little bit. Right, that might have worked out a little. There's a little
sand. You need to bring back your Rick and Morty wig.
There's a little sand in all of us right now. Shout out to the shirt that I decided to wear. We have DeBull Cliff.
You said it properly. I don't know what she was saying.
She called you Brian Dable.
Yeah, she said Dable. I don't know who the hell that is.
So now
I said DeBull.
The John.
Just move on. Please never again.
Save us. Our producer extraordinaire, Shannon Penn. Shannon, do you have a childhood awful nickname that we have not been privy to yet?
Oh, man. All right. So I have two nicknames. One, as Chinee alluded to, is Shan Shan, which I got from my mother. So that was one. And then I don't have too much time, but I'm man enough to say I have a nice rear end. I'm not going to hide from this. So growing up, it was kind of high, right? So my aunt used to call me High Pockets, but she would say it like it was Hot Pockets. So she would call me High Pockets because the back pockets on my jeans sat up really high because I had a nice butt.
Oh, so, I love it.
Wait, to be clear, Shannon, you were thick.
Oh, my God. I cannot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had some scars on me.
2C?
Yeah.
2C thick. Wow, Shannon.
Okay.
Proud of you. Listen, as a card-carrying member of the thick community right now, it is nice to know that I've got a comrade on this show. It's incredible.
Shannon, you made my day with that story one. Okay, and I'd also like to say welcome Alan Sutherland to our family, who I call Suddy, and I'm only allowed to call him. I'm the only one that can call him Suddy. So welcome, Suddy. Alice, I would like, you know, if we can get the information as well, we got to get the family addressed.
We got to get everyone's nicknames in this situation. You know what? While we hunt that information down, why don't we keep this energy flowing? We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinee and Golic Jr.
And I'm also looking forward to Doug as well. I need to hear Doug's. I really do.
Oh, no, it's downtown Doug Brown. All
Come
day.
On. No, okay,
it was on the, he was on the Levitard show the other day talking about that. I heard him. Doug,
would you say it's his worst? It's like, that's a good one.
No, that's a good one. That's what he goes by. It's downtown Doug Brown. So
we're talking about our worst ones, but continue, because it was the best day for a young recruit in the world of basketball.
It is. Hold on, I want to hear this from Doug. So, Doug, I heard you on the Levitard show the other day doing SportsCenter updates for us here and doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You mentioned downtown Doug Brown, your nickname. Did you have, like, a bad nickname growing up?
Wow, a bad nickname. I can't really think of one.
There
were some that I didn't like.
Fair point.
But I can't say there were any bad ones.
It's a fair point. You know what? Downtown Doug Brown is too good.
He's
to
a winner.
Ignore, so we've
Just
got that
winner.
One chucked up. But Chinee, you mentioned I do want to keep that same energy and the actual good news that we had today, and it came from the world of women's college hoops.
AZ Fudd, superstar, like on the rise, chose UConn. Chose UConn. I'm so proud of her. She's going to make a mark on the next level, but I wish it was Stanford, but she chose UConn today.
Yeah.
The rich get richer.
Tends to be what happens around here.
Did we get anything from Alice?
We have not heard anything from Alice. Going to have to tease that one over
in Wonderland
tomorrow. Oh.
Alice said, hard pass.
Not going to participate in these games. You know what? And in keeping that same energy before we go, to allow us to have all these fun and games, a big thank you to the men and women that serve our country now, continue to, and have in the past. Yes. We appreciate it on this Veterans Day. Incredible work, as always, by everyone around here. We're going to see if we recover. Jason Fitz and Sarah Spandex.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.